Hey everyone, Mackenzie Wild here with Wild Child, and welcome back to season 2 of the Wild Child podcast. First things first, I'm currently in my car, so if you guys hear a little bit of background noise, that is probably why. I will be going back and reviewing this. I also know that my podcast app thingy has been super duper weird, and like the audio sounds great, and it sounds wonderful, and then all of a sudden it just doesn't. And so I don't know why. We're working on getting the issue fixed. But anyway, with that being said, in the very first episode of season 2, I'm kind of just going to be explaining to you guys what's new with Wild Child, because things are a lot different. There have been some very drastic life changes, and so, yeah. So, I am no longer training horses. That's a shocker, isn't it? So some of you might remember that last October I got into a pretty gnarly equine accident, and I kind of shared it places I kind of didn't. But anyway, from what we've been able to pick up from eyewitness reports, because I do not remember it one bit, is that I entered the pen with a new horse. It was a stallion, and I hadn't even closed the gate behind me when this horse came up, lunged at me, grabbed me by the head, and drugged me around, right? And after this happened, I ended up calling my roommate, and I was like, hey, when you get off work, I'm gonna need you to drive me to the ER. And he's all, well, how bad is it? And he's all, I can come home now. And I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that serious. And that's kind of just something that I do as a person. I tend to downplay things a lot, even though I really shouldn't. And anyway, so that was at about noon when I told him that, and that was the last time anybody heard anything from me. And he got home from work at about 7, to me lying unconscious on the floor, bleeding out, and having seizures. And so he picked me up, loaded me in the car, and drove me to the ER, because of the area we're in, it's very rural. So it's one of those things where if you don't drive someone to the ER, it's going to be 2 or 3 hours before medical help arrives anyway. And so it was just easier for him to drive me the hour. And then I ended up going to the ER. I don't really remember the whole week after that accident, but supposedly I was having a shit ton of seizures. And the doctor said they should stop within like a couple days, and they never did. They definitely got a lot less. You know, I remember things now, and it wasn't just like I was, you know, lying in bed passed out for the whole week. You know, and then, you know, I ended up going to see a neurologist, and the neurologist was like, well, so it's called post-traumatic epilepsy, meaning there's a good chance you're going to struggle with seizures for the rest of your life. And that was kind of upsetting. But so, you know, I started to kind of adjust to the seizures. I kept doing my thing, kept training horses, you know, and they were pretty few and far between. You know, I'd maybe have a few seizures a week. Well, over time, they got worse. I went from having a few seizures a week to like a couple seizures I went from having a few seizures a week to like having at least a seizure a day to a few seizures a day. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And then there was one point where I just didn't wake up, and my roommate was trying to wake me up, and I just wouldn't, you know, and there was I seized in my sleep and shit hit the fan. And so off to the ER again, we went, and from there, we discovered that there was a lot more to the story than we had originally been told by by the neurologist. And several surgeries later, I ended up losing the use of my legs and ended up in a wheelchair for a little bit. Basically, this happened because my brain had just stopped communicating to other parts of the body, and after they drained a bunch of fluid from the brain and some other things, and like I know all the fine details, it's on the paperwork. I may or may not be explaining it correctly because the paperwork's not in front of me. But anyway, and so I ended up losing the use of my legs. The doctors gave me a 10% chance of being able to walk again. I did end up walking again. I'm walking now. I will admit my balance is, nowhere near how it used to be. You know, I still struggle sometimes. Sometimes my legs still don't do what I tell them to do. But it's all things that I will continue getting better at, as I continue to recover. Throughout this entire endeavor, I decided it would be best if I stopped training horses professionally, as a career, whatever you want to call it, right? And it's not even necessarily just because I don't love it, right? Because I love training horses with a grand passion. But my thought process with this all kind of lied into the fact, first off, one more bump to the head and I'm dead. Like, I could be walking on concrete, trip and fall, and hit my head and die. you know, and working with a bunch of rank colts and training a bunch of unpredictable horses, you know, it's one of those things where the risk factor is way too high. And like, you know, once upon a time I was suicidal and wanted to die, but now I don't want to die. You know, I need to be there for my personal herd, and my mare Delilah, who has done everything for me, is going to have her baby, and I got to be there to raise that. I've got to be there for my human family, the one that I've created over the years. So it's one of those things where, you know, training horses is like, it will end up killing me eventually, just because one minor bump, even with a helmet, could be the end of my life. And, you know, I really don't want to risk that at the moment. As I was recovering, I also had a lot of other different thought processes about training horses, right? Again, I love doing it, but it comes with its issues. It's a lot of mental, emotional, physical tear on a person. And like, one big thing I've learned is that I will bend over backwards for a horse, even if it's unhealthy, right? So like, for example, you know, I sacrificed my entire life for the sake of a single horse. When that lady refused to get her horse's teeth done and then blamed me for starving it and called the county, and it turned into this whole fucking thing. You know, I ended up sacrificing my home that I worked so hard to build for the sake of one horse. And I know that I'm a person who will sacrifice everything, my home, my life, my, you know, my situation. I'll sacrifice everything if it means being able to help a horse, right? And I struggle to draw the line there, because I'm a person who always puts the horse first. And so whatever that entails, I do it. Now, the other side of the coin for this, is that sometimes there's horses you just can't help. And as somebody who loves horses and will bend over backwards for horses, you know, when you work in the industry, it's a little bit different than just doing it as a hobby, right? You see the absolute worst sides of the equine industry. You see horses suffer day after day after day. And sometimes you literally just have to sit there and watch it happen, because there's only so much you can do, right? And so I hate seeing horses in pain. I hate seeing horses suffer. And when you're in the industry, it's a given. You're going to experience that whether you like it or not. The other thought process to that is, while I truly love all of my clients, there's always those particular clients that are a little more complicated to deal with, right? A little more complicated to manage. You know, ones who complain that I'm using a red pair of reins and a blue saddle pad, or just, you know, stupid stuff like that, right? And sometimes these clients can drain the absolute energy, like they can drain everything out of you. And it's hard, you know, and like I said, the physical, mental, emotional wear and tear on the body, it's not an easy thing. And then the other thing is, I feel like I've, you know, I don't have an identity outside of training horses. You know, ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to be a horse trainer, and I worked my ass off to become a horse trainer. And, you know, then I kind of lost myself in the process, and it's kind of rough, you know, because all I know is training horses. And, you know, I don't have a social life. I don't have any of that stuff. And my whole life, I've always had to be way more mature than my age, just because I grew up in a very traumatic environment. And as an adult, I have chosen to live like I'm in my 30s and 40s, and I'm barely not even 21 yet. I'll be 21 on Halloween, but the point still stands. I've never been able to act my age, right? And training horses, you know, I love it, but I just lost myself in that, right? I don't even know who I am outside of training horses. And, you know, that's kind of not necessarily a good thing. And so, you know, that's why I'm no longer training horses. Now, I don't know if I will go back to it in the future. You know, maybe when I've had some more time to recover, I might return to it. I'm just not entirely sure. So then, where is social media going to go? I'm still going to be making social media posts. I'm still going to be creating stuff. And you might have noticed that a lot of it's starting to come back. It's just going to be a little bit different, right? Like, originally it was marketing the business, educating people on horses, you know, all of this stuff strictly pertaining to horses, the business, and all that stuff, right? And so I've kind of decided that I'm going to make it a little bit more about just my personal life, things I go through on the day-to-day basis, you know, raising awareness or advocating for like mental health, addiction, homelessness, all of this stuff. After the first of the year, I also have a lot more bigger plans to kind of take the social media to a whole other level, but I'm not going to start that till the first. I'm still just kind of taking it slow, taking it easy. So the social medias are starting back up. It's just not going to be focused around marketing the business and the horses as much as it is just going to be life and the many ups and downs of the roller coaster we gotta live with, right? it's not like I'm giving up horses altogether. They're still a very big part of my life. You know, I've still got my personal herd, you know, and I still have the clients I know that we'll go out to coffee and hang out, or I'll still offer them advice from time to time. And I'm still going to be working on all my books relating to horses and all that stuff as well. They're just not going to be my full-time job anymore, right? And with that brings a whole other life change, in that I'm moving to an apartment in Flagstaff. I know I sound so enthusiastic about that. You know, originally I lived in a super small little town with 10 acres and horse property. And then, you know, that kind of got all messed up. And so then I ended up moving to a friend's place, and I'm trying to stay in the area. And then I ended up deciding with my roommate that we would kind of gravitate towards Flagstaff. It's not too far. It's only like an hour from where I'm at now, but it's closer to hospitals. It's closer to just everything. There's more opportunities there. I mean, I'll be boarding the horses somewhere, you know, but again, we're going to be headed up that way just because as I still continue treatment and go to physical therapy and have all these bazillion MRIs and all that stuff, it's just safer for me to be closer to resources. And so that's kind of where I'm headed up in, as far as relocation. So yeah. This was an incredibly difficult situation for me to make, and it was not made lightly. So I want everyone who's listening to this to know that as well, whether you're a client, a potential client, past client, or someone who's just been following me for any amount of time. You know, I don't want to stop training horses. It's just one of those things that I think it's the healthiest option for me right now. I may or may not kind of train show horses later on, but I really don't know because I don't ever see myself thriving in a show environment again. But it kind of just depends and seeing where my wild heart takes me. So yeah. A lot of life changes. I hope you guys still continue to follow along as I go through these changes, as I know some of you do just follow me for the horse content. With that being said, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, our podcast, obviously TikTok, and everything in between. And stay strong, stay true, stay wild, and I will see y'all next week.